Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
Thursday, I got a call. I was doing my devotion and actually preparing for the next few months of messages and praying. But I answered the phone on Thursday morning, and it was my daughter-in-law. And she says, you know, I'm on the freeway out here, and I got a flat tire. She said, can you help me out? And I said, oh, I'll be right there, you know. So I hopped in the car and went up, and there they were, you know. So I got to looking at this tire. It was, you know, just flat. And I thought, you know what? Let's go get some fix-a-flat and pump this thing up, and I'll drive it off, and she can drive my car, and we'll just get home, and we'll let my son take care of this tire later. So we go, and we get in the car, and we go get some fix-a-flat. That's some good stuff, man. I use it. Well, we get back. We were gone maybe 5 to 7 minutes because the exit was right there. So we get off the exit and we go to the gas station and get the fix-a-flat. We were gone between 5 and 7 minutes, I'd say, at the most. We get back, we pull up. There's a guy trying to break in the back door of their car, pulling on the handle. Look, just so fixated on it, he didn't even know we pulled up. We sat down, what is my daughter, what is he doing? He's up to no good. I said, yeah. And so I opened the door and I stood up. I said, hey! And he didn't hear me the first time. He was just, you know. I said, hey! I said, that's my car. And he looks up. This is your car? I said, yeah, that's my car. I said, I'm here to fix the tire. I had to fix the flat. And I had my phone in there. I said, I'm here to fix it. And I said, I'm coming to get it. And I walked up, you know, I walked up behind the car and I was right. And he looked at me with this stupor. And he had his coat on and he put his hands in his pockets. And he opened his coat and he started walking it like, you got something? You know, just like real cocky. I felt the presence of evil coming on me. You know what I'm saying? I felt it. And I said, this is what I said. This is exactly what I said. I said, God, and I looked him square in the eye. I said, God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And he goes, huh? You know, real cocky. I said, in the name of Jesus, the spirit of fear must leave. And he walked up and he was like right here. You know, a foot away. I could smell his breath. God is my, I could smell, he had not alcohol. And I looked him square in the eye, and his eyes were hollow. He was either on crack or heroin. I've been around, I haven't done any of those, but I've been around. I know his eyes were hollow and empty. And I looked him square in the eye, and he turned, and he got in his car and skedaddled. I'm going to tell you what, that was a spiritual moment right there. And you can say what you want to say. But my daughter-in-law even thought, she said, I thought he was going to come up there and shoot you the way he... She said, what do you have his hand? She was going saying that. And I said, you know what? I said, I had authority right there. And I said, that guy had to get out of there. And I did. I had authority on me. You remember that we talked about witchcraft? And we talked about being under the influence of those drugs and... I'm going to tell you what, when people are under that, they're subject to do anything. And I'm going to tell you, we're living in perilous times right now. And that means dangerous and violent. And I'm going to tell you what, that right there even showed me, I'm going to stay up in this word. And I'm going to keep it in me. Because it gives you authority. And if you don't have authority, that thing's going to take authority over you. And then that day, you know, I went and bought him dinner, and I brought it over when my son got home from school, and we all had dinner together. We celebrated. I just wanted to share that with you, because, folks, listen, we got to have authority, and we have authority for everything. But if we don't have it, then we're up under there. That we're subject to what they're bringing. We were talking, last time we were together, we talked about jealousies and lying, remember? And the lying part was from the anger. Anger is really, you're hiding something and it comes out because you're not expressing that and you're not confessing that and you're not talking about it. So it stays down and it will come out as anger. And so the idea is we don't want to be fake and phony with our spouse, with our friends, with the people we connect with, because we don't want to lie. Remember, when someone hurts you or someone says something to you that may offend you and you don't respond and you don't say anything, but the next time you see them and you say, well, you know, is there something wrong between it? And you say, oh, no, it's all right. You know, you smile and everything's good. That's lying. And you just act like nothing's wrong. See, that's why it says, put away lying, and then it says, give no place to the devil. See, that's what you do when you give him space in your life when you lie, because he's the liar and the father of it. And so when you lie, that's where anger's steeped in lying. And that's a manifestation of the anger's, a manifestation of the flesh. We got to get honest and be confrontive. And this thing about getting hurt in church all the time, we need to get over it and we need to talk about it and be honest and straight up about it. And then the enemy can't get in because it keeps relationships healthy. It's in the light, right? We get it out in the light. What's in the light exposes the darkness, right? The enemy can only rule in darkness. He can't rule in the light. So when we confess it and we talk to each other about it, that's putting it in the light. That is huge, because people are falling away and people are defeated because of that very thing. And they don't really realize they're lying. Huh? And you know, we all participate in that. That's something everyone does. And if we're aware of it, we can rise above it. Okay. So today we're going to talk about heresies and envy. Envy is real close to jealousy. Heresies and envy is what we're talking about today. So go with me to Galatians chapter 5. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. All right. Now, this word, heresies, is the word we're going to look at today. Heresies is the Greek word heresis. It's spelled H-E-R-E-S-I-E-S in English. In the Greek, it's spelled H-A-I-R, like hair, heresis. And this is what it means. A person or group of people who are sectarian. You know, sectarian is like being in a group. They have their little groups. You know, you're in this group. And you're in this group, you're sectarian, you're in this group, okay? Now, this word sectarian refers to a group of people who adhere to the same teaching or ardently follow the same leader. Same leader. These adherents of a sect are usually limited in their scope and view and closed to outsiders, staying primarily to themselves. They keep to themselves. These groups, they're tight. They stay together. Okay, now listen. In the New Testament, these groups were considered unauthorized. Unauthorized. No authority. When they showed up out there on the trail and the horse had a bad foot and somebody came to rob them, they got knocked in the head. Because they didn't have no authority. Am I making sense? Unauthorized. No authority. Now, because they were not submitted to the authority of the church leadership. You see, God has established the church, right? What did he say? The gates, the word gates means authority. That's what it means. The word gate. The gates of hell, the authorities of hell, will not prevail against the church. The word prevail means stand. They won't be able to stand against the church. Church is who? People. That's us. The people. Not the building. We're the church. We're the ecclesia, right? We're the temple of God. And so that's what he's saying. It will not prevail against those who are operating in the ecclesia, the kingdom of God. Now, in our modern day vernacular, we might call these groups cliques, referring to groups of people who think and believe themselves to be exclusive. These groups might function in secret to keep their dealings, associations, contacts, and interactions unknown to others. They might give the impression that they are better or more enlightened than those outside the group, or that they have a special assignment that no one else can do or know about. You know, they like to meet on Friday or Saturday. They always want to meet on every other than Sunday because, you know, they try to get the people out of the churches to meet. And it's, a lot of times it's all people that have been hurt, and they've all been hurt together. So they don't. The local church is not what they're about. They're not concerned with the local church. And I'm going to tell you something. The local church is the hope of the world. This is the reason they keep outsiders on the outside and accept or allow so few to have an inside peek at their fellowship, conversations, and activities or meetings. This word heresies can also describe different branches or arms of a movement. It primarily suggests a division, a faction, or an unauthorized group. Because this type of group was viewed to be so disruptive to the early church because it didn't fall under the spiritual covering of church leadership. The Apostle Paul saw it as heretical, which in this setting meant divisive. D means two, vide, divisive, or division. D-I, the prefix D-I means two visions. You have two visions. When you have two visions, you got confusion. When you got one vision and everybody sees it, that brings harmony and unity. Okay? So that's what those factions, those groups do. This leader usually demands the highest commitment from his group members, even demanding that his followers commit to himself and to the group that is greater than their commitment to the overall church body. We must face it. Our flesh delights. Now listen. Our flesh delights in deceiving itself into believing that it is better, more spiritual, or more enlightened than anyone else. It thrives on being puffed up, pride, and boastful, and it enjoys thinking too highly of itself. It adores being selfish, self-consumed, self-focused, and self-centered, and it likes to take pleasure in meeting and caring for its own self-interest. And that's what happens in those groups. It's steeped in selfishness. Because when you are a part of the local body, that means you got to be concerned about others, right? Always. We're to serve others, other people, right? That's Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. The flesh, now listen, and if allowed to do so, the flesh will separate into a faction, a division, or a sect. It will gravitate to others whose flesh wants to believe they are better than others also. When all that flesh gets together in one place, they will inevitably form a super elite clique that is so tight no one else will be able to get in. We must never lose sight of the reality that we are a part of the whole body of Christ. God has not given you or anyone else a revelation or truth so special that it is only for a handful. You are a member of the body of Christ. We must act like it and not let our flesh deceive us into thinking that you are a member of the higher spiritual class. Command your flesh to come back down to reality and get busy loving and serving others in the local church. You see, you know what those groups were? Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and chapter 1, he says, I'm of Paul and I am of Cephas and I'm of Christ, all these different groups. And none of them were right. They were all saying, well, where was this group? And where was, see, that's the heresy. And they were all saying that they're of this group. But they were all wrong. Because it's not about groups. It's about we're one body, one Lord, one faith, one God, one baptism, right? And one Father of all who is rich to all who call upon him, right? That's the whole idea. And it's this idea of being one together. Now, envy. That word envy is rough. You know, envy and jealousy are very closely related. Jealousy, remember, you should never be jealous. Jealousy is something you should never be jealous of your spouse, ever. Because when you're jealous of them, you're saying that they belong to you, and now you want to control them. Jealousy is never healthy. Never. Ever. Jealousy and envy, that's where we get the word murder. Jealousy, there's not even a Greek word for murder. But now look, it's right, the word murder is right there with jealousy and envy. Because people murder under jealousy and under envy. It's that evil. So don't, jealousy, if you feel jealous, you have to call on God. There's a reason. There's an insecurity there. You need to get rid of that. Well, what if my wife is looking at this so-and-so? Well, let her look. You need to comb your hair and brush your teeth and get your stuff together. Come on, am I making sense? Well, now, what if my husband is doing it? Well, it's the same thing. It's not about jealousy. We're never to rule that. God said, I'm jealous of Israel. I'm jealous. God is the only one that can be jealous because we belong to him. No, you don't belong. No one belongs to you. See, we have to understand that. Because when we think this person's mine, we try to control them. And that creates major problems. Now, okay, so here's the idea. Jealousy and envy. Jealousy says, I want what you got. Envy says, I want what you got, and I don't want you to have what you got. That's what envy says. See that? Jealousy says, I want what you got. Envy says, I want what you got, and I don't want you to have what you got. See the little difference there? Okay. All right, here we go. Envy. Now, Mark 15:10 says, for he knew... All right, now, this is talking about Pilate. Now, the Jewish leaders turned Jesus over to Pilate to be criminally tried in a court of law. Pilate knew they did it because they were envious. Envious. Envious of the popularity that Jesus was gaining in the nation. That's why, that's what they were envious because Jesus was getting recognition. and Jesus was getting attention. Now listen, Mark 15:10 says, "For he knew, Pilate, that the chief priests had delivered him up for envy." For envy. Mark 15:10. This word envy is the Greek word P-H-T-H-O-N-O-S. This word depicts a hostile feeling towards someone because that person has something, an advantage, a benefit, a position that the other does not possess but would like to have. The despicable feeling toward that person with a perceived advantage is so strong that the one who feels envy takes action to remove that person's advantage in hope that it will pass on to them. This kind of envy is evil, sinister, full of maliciousness. Envy also depicts a deeply felt grudge because someone possesses what a person wishes was his own. The person who feels envy has a chip on his shoulder and his covetousness of the person's belongings, accomplishments, relationships, or titles in life. Has anybody ever felt envy? We've all done that, haven't we? Every time he or she sees that other person, he or she is inwardly seething about his or her success. He or she deeply resents that person's blessing and tries to figure out a way to seize it away from the person or he or she envies in order to make it their own. In the example of the chief priests in Mark 15:10, they were envious of the acclaim Jesus was getting. To get rid of the competition, the chief priests decided to kill Jesus. That is how this type of envy reacts. It can be so strong that it will go to extreme measures to take action designed to do away with the person who has the advantage. It also depicts a person who uses others as stepping stones to get where he or she wants to be in terms of prestige and power. This would be an unscrupulous person. Someone tries to get close to you, but later you found out that they only wanted your friendship for their own advantage to get to someone else, and then they dropped you like a lead balloon. Has anybody ever done that? Tried to be your friend, and really you find out that they wanted to be your friend and get close to you because they were really wanting something that was close to you. That happens a lot. That happens a lot. That's common. Or they acted as if they wanted to be your friend when in truth, all they wanted was your job. I remember where I used to work. I had day shift, and it took a long time to get on day shift. And when I started announcing I was going into ministry, it's like, boy, all these folks started coming up. And, you know, I mean, everybody wanted my day shift job. And I'll tell you what, I saw envy reeking, you know, scampering over that mess. All right. The next time you feel yourself tempted to get envious over someone else's blessing or position, cry out to God for help to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Start rejoicing when others are being blessed. We should be excited when someone else is being blessed and someone else is being successful. Why is it that we get jealous and envious when people start to succeed? When they have poured out their whole life, they're doing everything they can to get to where they are, and then we're going to get envious and jealous and talk negative about them? What's up with that? That's nothing but flesh, isn't it? I don't have time for that. Whenever people get around and start dogging somebody, I say, look, I'll stop. They don't do that around me. I don't hear a lot of that. Because I don't participate in it. And if they start it, I'll hush them up. I'll start talking good about the person they're talking about. And point out some good things about them. And why they're successful. You see that? That's how you handle that. You don't join in. Because if you do, you start to get the same way. Is this making sense? What you sow, you will reap. Anger, resentment, bitterness, negativity is the harvest that will come back to you in the future. We must deal with envy and heresies, right? We don't want to be a part of that. We're talking about the Word of God, right? We're breaking it open. And I tell you, I really like this because it really helps you to see things about yourself even. Because we've all participated in this. And when we really are aware of this and raise our level of consciousness to this, we don't have to participate in it. And you know what it does? It makes our lives healthier. And it frees us up. Because when we're criticizing and jealousy and all that, you know what it says in Matthew 7? The measure you deal out is the measure that will come back to you. Even if you just think it. Just thinking it. Oh, that puts the fear of God in me. I can't just think what negative about this person. That's going to come back to me. What you sow, you will reap. Anger, resentment, bitterness is the negative harvest that will come back to you in the future. And it will come. This is huge. This is the way it is. And when we get this in our heart, it's going to help us. It frees us up. And now the blessings can come. See, we're trying to get ourselves in a position where we can be blessed. On Wednesday nights, I've been talking about blessings and cursing. You know, if you can be blessed, you can be under a curse. And this stuff brings curses in your life. And then you pass that down to your children and your grandchildren. You see, folks, we got to wake up. We got to wake up when it comes to spiritual things. That's why he says, awake you who sleep. Awake from the dead. Arise and Christ will be the light. We got to wake up. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in lust and lewdness, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lustful desires. You see that? We have to increase our awareness of what is going on around us. There is so much going on around us. That's why we got to come in the church, get equipped, let the kingdom rule, and take it into the world and infect and affect our world with the gospel. Am I making sense? And when that crosses, whoo, boy, you feel good. Man, you're like, I'm doing what I'm here for, because that's your purpose. You see that? And that's that we want to increase that redeeming potential in every one of us. And as we come together, that's what's happening. We got to wake up spiritually. Folks, there's all kinds of things going on out there. So the idea is, when we're aware and we have this awareness, we can make the right decisions and do the right things at the right time.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now.
Listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 7 p.m., Sunday mornings at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.